You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Speaking about one another, I'm going to talk about what we've accomplished together with God as our partner, right? We're co-laborers with our Father. That's what he says. We have a co-mission. We're in partnership with God to fulfill his mission. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we did in 2023, and then we're going to talk about how we're going to go forward in 2024. But I want to show you scripture. It's been used a million times for New Year's, but I'm going to show you some different things about it as we go through it. But it starts in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19 says, "Behold." We're going to come back to that word "behold" because it is the most important part of everything you're about to read. He said, "I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Question mark. There's a question mark. Whether you know it or not, we'll come right back to "behold." "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Next verse. "The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink to my people, my chosen." Next verse. "This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise." Now, we're going to go back to that, but first, let's talk about 2023 a little bit. Guys, I'm just going to list some of the groups that we have given to in 2023. Number one, it's not the biggest giving, but just this still list is just kind of random. Our veterans, we gave to our veterans. Amen. We gave to the orphanages in Mexico that we support, Mexico missions. We gave to United Way. We gave the Dream Center, which was given to us, praise God, for free. We've already put $150,000 in the Dream Center since we've received it to start to fix it up. They had stolen all the copper out of our plumbing, and so we're having to redo all the plumbing. We're having to go through the electricity. I think the last time that electricity was redone was probably in the 80s, and there's still parts of 1963 electricity in there. And you can't have 1963 electricity anymore, not in a wood building. Amen. They had two fires in that building, probably from the 1963 electricity issues there. But it's been upgraded a little bit, but we're going to upgrade it completely and make it safe for the people that will be living there and be ministered to there. But we have a lot of work to do. You know, we've already sown $150,000 in it, but I want to say this. With man hours, it's probably way more than that. Because we've sown so much. And we're about to have another work day coming up this month. If the weather's been like it is, man, it's been a great winter for me. For the anti-snow people, it's like, praise the Lord. Saturday we're supposed to have snow? Well, the work day is coming Saturday. Thank you. But I did tell my wife, who's the snow people? Who wants snow? A lot of you. Wow. Man, we got more crazy people than I thought we had, man. Who's the anti-snow people? The sunshine. There we go. That's my gente right there. It's my people. But I did tell my wife, because she wants snow, and it looks like you got several family members that want snow too, that I would get in agreement with her that we'd have at least one good snow day. On a work day. Or on a school day. And all the kids are like, yes and amen. That I would pray that we'd have some snow. We need it for our weather. We need the moisture. But I said I would pray. And that's a stretch. She knows that's a stretch for me, man, because I like sunshine every day. But anyway, we're going to have a work day this Saturday coming up, so sign up for that. We'll give you more information as that goes, or you can go on our website and find out more information about that work day. Then we gave to St. Jude's Hospital for Children. We give to them all the time. Julie and I personally give to them. I love what they do for children. Amen. We always want to be part of the healing process and sowing into our kids. We sponsored a bunch of kids in our own church and sports and band and everything else you can think of. We sponsored them to go on trips, missions trips and different things in schools. We gave to the Southeastern New Mexico Veterans Transportation that transport our veterans to and from the VA hospital. We give to them monthly. We always have. We have for years. We gave to the Ronald McDonald House. We give every year to Ronald McDonald's house. I don't know if any of you have stayed in one, but I know when I was in the corporate world in Tulsa, that they shut the house down for 2 days. And for 2 days on a weekend, Saturday, then Sunday after church, our whole office showed up and we cleaned that place spotless from literally ceiling to floor, disinfected the whole thing and cleaned it spotless every year. That was my first encounter with the Ronald McDonald's house. My second encounter was when my father was in the hospital in San Antonio, Texas, and we needed a place to stay, and my mom and I stayed in the Ronald McDonald house. And man, I tell you, I'd sewn into it for years, just laboring, but then when I got to participate and actually live there for a period of time, my goodness, they do some great work, the Ronald McDonald House. And some of you might have, your family, you might have stayed there too. And so we sow every year a big check into them. And the Snowburgers, Nick and John, do a great job of hosting a golf tournament in which we sow into to raise money for the Ronald McDonald House. It's a great blessing. Roadrunner Food Bank, we sow into all the time. Every month, Mexico Pastors Fund. We pay the pastors' salaries. Most of the churches in Mexico cannot afford to pay the pastors' salaries, so we pay the pastors' salaries so they don't have to work a second, third job in order to make it. These are the pastors that help us distribute food and gifts and everything to the orphanages that we support in Mexico. These guys do a great job, and we take care of them. Amen, because they take care of us and take care of those kids. We've sown into International Western World Fund, which is a missions group, focus on the family. Of course, we sow into our law enforcement and our first responders. Every year we do the big stakeout and just tell them we appreciate them, value them, and do tons of giveaways and feed them all the steak they can eat. CYFD, we've sowed into CYFD, Children, Youth, and Families. And then we've sown into the Community Kitchen. We sow into them every month. China Missions, we sow into China Missions every year. A group of people that we know that minister to the Chinese people. Man, we have people from China watching us, what we do at Church of the Moon, watching our messages every week right now in China, being ministered to, because they don't have churches that can openly minister the word. Amen. It's a blessing to be able to do that. We sell into Legate Israel, which is the largest food distribution group for the poor in Israel. We also sow into Ames, which is Josh and Bevan Bold. Some of you might remember Josh and Bevan. They ministered here on a Sunday and ministered at our marriage conference, Joy of Marriage Conference. Josh and Bevan do a great job, and we support two pastors in two churches being built, one in the Arab section and one in the Jewish section of Israel. So we're ministering to everybody there and the pastors that work there. Angel Tree Ministry, which is an outreach to those families who have a family member, a mom or dad in prison. Project Hood in Chicago. I always want to support some of the... Chicago is one of the most violent cities in the whole United States, so we support an outreach there to the inner city, a pastor there who's done a great job of reaching the inner city in Chicago. Man, we know that what's going to transform everybody's world, their communities, is always the Word of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's what's going to change everything for the better. Amen. So we're going to do that everywhere we go. Roswell Team Leadership, we've sown to them. New Mexico Military Institute IPA, which is their elementary school and their junior high. We want to sow into them because they're doing a great job of educating kids locally, guys, and taking them to a whole other place. We have our own ministries, our jail and prison ministries, Embrace, Adopt a Block, our December giveaways, our community support, where we've helped people pay their gas bill, their electric bill, their water bill when they don't have any in their house, especially if there's children or elderly in their home. We help them out. We can't help everybody, but we can help somebody. Amen. We've support the Portales Children's Home, which does an outstanding job. They're a place where the people just drop their kids off and can leave them. and they take care of them. They make sure they have an education. They make sure they go to school. They make sure they have a safe place. They make sure they're fed three meals a day. They do a great job. And also the Roswell Refuge here in town. And we're going to partner with some of the groups locally that are housing and helping people this next year in 2025. We're going to do some things locally. Most of our money goes local. Amen. Because I believe if you can't clean up your own backyard, how can you clean up anybody else's backyard? Amen. Man, we have done so much. We did somebody pray for 40 days. Thousands of people joined us in prayer for our state and our people, for the lost and the hurting. Thousands. We did that for 40 days as I walked around the state and as you guys walked around with me in prayer and support. Guys, we have done so much together. We did over 20 weddings, over 25 funerals. Guys, we had 110 people get saved at our Christmas Eve service. So if you add that to already what we've already documented of people that we led to Christ, guys, it's our job to plant and water, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings the increase. So we minister the word, we tell them the word, and we pray with them. But what happens from there is between them and the Holy Spirit. But guys, we had over 3,900 people in 2023 that we prayed with to receive Jesus Christ from all of our ministries. Probably after the things we've done during this last week, we probably had close to 4,000. Guys, that's 11 people a day for every day, for 365 days a year that we told about Jesus and prayed with to receive Jesus. The fruit is between them and God, but we told them and we prayed with them. We did our part. We planted and watered. Amen. And gave them a chance to receive the Holy Spirit and produce great fruit, eternal life in their life. That is an amazing feat considering that the average church in America leads less than 10 people to Christ. We did 11 a day. And that's our competition is in other churches, is never the body. The body of Christ, we're all in this together, amen? But our competition is with Satan. And man, guys, together, we are kicking butt and taking names for the kingdom of God, amen? Pastor, that's a strange way of putting it, but that's the way I put it. Because I like thumping hell. And I like emptying hell and filling up heaven. Amen? And we do a great job together doing that. Guys, together we gave away over $672,793.79 together. $672,000. If you add man hours to that, of what we give in service to our community, it's probably over $1 million that we've given away just last year in 2023. Guys, I don't know about you, but individually, I can't touch that number. But together we are strong. Together we've made a difference in people's lives. Together we've helped. I love the story of the starfish. Can't save every one of them, but we're going to save this one, and we're going to save that one, and we're going to help this one. We can't do everything in the community, and some people want to twist our arm and manipulate us and say, well, if you were Christians, you'd help me. Guys, listen, we can't help everybody. We're led by the Spirit of God and who we help and who we say yes to and who we say no to. We can't say yes to everybody. God can say yes to everybody, but we can't say yes to everybody. But we have said yes to a lot of somebodies. Amen. And made a big difference in our community, and not just in our community, around the world. Around the world. There'll be people in heaven that will thank you, and you'll be like, what are you thanking me for? And they'll say, because Church on the Move, through your giving, you gave to this church, in this place, in this mission, in this thing, and I came to know Jesus because of your giving. Because you made a difference. I love it how with God, all things are possible. Guys, we didn't even bring in $300,000 a year the first probably 10 years I was here. Now we give away double that. But just because we didn't bring in that much didn't mean that we didn't give. We have given all the time. God's principle of giving generously, you'll reap generously. Our church is giving generously, and we're reaping generosity back to us that we can give even more. Amen. I'd love to give away financially $1 million in 2024. Let's all believe to do that, guys. Let's sow like that. Let's sow like that. Let's lead 5,000 people to Christ next year. Let's tell 5,000 people. And that didn't include all the ones we individually led to Christ. All of you prayed with family members or others. Man, guys, let's reach 5,000 people for the kingdom of God next year directly that we know about, let alone the thousands indirectly we don't know about. Let's light up the world. Amen. Let's light up the world with the light of Christ everywhere we go, everywhere we're at, all around the world. Let's light up Roswell. Let's lift up Jesus so high, all men are drawn to him. Amen? Come on, you're not as excited as I am. Let's get excited about what God has done and what he's about to do, because he's about to do some amazing stuff. Let's go back to that scripture for a moment, and I'm going to explain to you why the first word in this scripture is the most important. He said, behold. Listen. What that means is see or focus. When we focus on the things of God, on the solution and not the problem, that's how God moves us forward. When we get so focused on the problem and our eyes off of him, the problem becomes magnified and bigger than us. But when we get focused on God, he said, behold, see, watch what God is about to do, not what the world is doing. This is not prophetic. God gives me certain things prophetically, but I know this for a fact, factually. Because of the elections coming up in November 2024, we're going to see radical things change in America and in our world. It's going to be radical change. One way or another, it's going to be radical change. It's going to be radical. And we need to be prepared to handle whatever comes our way. How do we get prepared? Behold, we focus on God. The Bible says, focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you want to navigate 2024, overcome any adversity, problems, and issues that you're carrying over from 2023 or new ones that come in 2024, fix your eyes on Jesus. Because he's the greatest problem solver ever and always will be. We have to focus on the things of God. Focus on the things of God for your marriage, for your children, for your family. Focus on the things of God. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Then he says this. He said, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. He's saying, listen, if you'll focus on me, you'll see what I'm about to do. And it will spring forth. What that means, it's just going to come out of nowhere, man. It's just going to happen, right? It's just going to be, you're going to be trucking along, getting up every day, praising God, focusing on him. And then all of a sudden, you're just going to see it because it's going to spring. It's going to jump on you. It's going to jump out in front of you. And you'll see it happen. This next question is really interesting. Shall you not know it? Another translation of that verse is, can you perceive it? Like, it's a question mark whether you'll see it or not, whether you'll even notice what God is doing in your life and what he wants to do for you. And the difference between those who see it happen, know it's happening, and experiencing it happening to their life will be the difference of those who are focused on God and those who are not focused. Those that get focused on the problems and the circumstances or the situation as opposed to those who are focused on God. Listen, before God cleans up the White House or the Round House, he's got to clean up his house. And what he wants to do in his house is just get us focused on him. That he is the focus of our life. He's first and most. He's not second or third or fourth or fifth or last. He is first and most. And when the body of Christ, when us as brothers and sisters, we get focused on him first, and we don't take our eyes off of him, regardless of the circumstances, oh my goodness, we're going to start seeing things jump out and happen. It's a promise of God. This word for the children of Israel, God's word is always past, present, and future. It was good then, it's good today, and it'll be good tomorrow. For everybody that reads it and believes it. And so he said, shall you not know it? Otherwise, there's a question mark. There's going to be a question mark. Some people will see it and experience it. Others will not. And it will be personal as well as big. It will be small and big. Amen? It'll be in your life and the life around you. The children of Israel right here are still in captivity to Babylon. And they do not know it, but God is telling them this because he's saying, listen, if you'll focus on me, I'm about to send the king of Persia that's going to overtake Babylon, and he's going to set you free. It's going to be supernatural. He said, I'm going to do it. Listen to what he says next. I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Next verse. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. Like, what in the world is he talking about? Jackals and ostriches, all of, in the middle of this thing about doing a new thing. This is what he's saying. He's saying the beasts of the field will see it. Why aren't you seeing it? He said the animal kingdom sees the things of God sometimes before the children of God see it. He's saying the beasts of the field will see it. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Let me stop right there. That's the second time he's talked about the wilderness and the desert. Whether you lead yourself into a wilderness or desert, or he leads you into one. He said, there will be times of wilderness and times of desert. It's going to happen. And 2024 is not going to be any different than 2023 or 1063 or 1823 or 1923 or 1924, it don't matter. It's all, human experience is the same. There's gonna be times of wilderness and times of desert. But those who are focused on God will see a path through the desert and they'll see rivers, or a path through the wilderness and they'll see rivers in the desert. There'll be supernatural moves of God when you're focused on him that will take place when you don't let the circumstances of life distract you from focusing on him. He said, then you'll see me supernaturally move. He said, to give drink to my people, my chosen. Who is he wanting to move supernaturally for? Not for the jackal and the ostrich. He said, they'll see it sometimes before my people see it. He said, I want to do it for you. I want to move supernaturally for you if you'll just keep focused on me and not let the enemy and circumstances distract you from your focus on me. Next verse. This is why. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. What happened to the children of Israel, the reason they ended up in captivity in Babylon, is they forgot to thank and praise God. They began to flow in the culture of the world. And they got away from God and didn't praise him. They weren't grateful for him. And they because of that, because of their ungratefulness, they went to the things of the world. And that's what created the captivity in the first place. He's saying, listen, I'm going to do something brand new. It's going to show up supernaturally. And you're going to think you're in a wilderness in a dry season. But you're going to just keep on serving me and keep focused on me during those seasons and on my word, on my promises. And I'm going to do something supernatural for you, and it's all for this purpose, so that you come back home and you begin to praise and worship me and be grateful for what I've done for you and what I'm doing. He wants to get his house back to that. But we come out of the world and we come back thankful and grateful for what he has done and what he's about to do. Amen. I always remember this story in Mark chapter 4. Matter of fact, we have time to go ahead and turn over to it. Go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 4. It's the story of the storm. There's so many great things in that. We could talk about it 50 times. And it's still so powerful. It starts in verse 35. It says this, that same day after it grew dark, Jesus said, everybody say Jesus said, to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. Remember what Jesus said. He said, let us cross over to the other side of the lake, or we're going to the other side of the lake. That's his word. So if Jesus says we're going to the other side of the lake, guess what? They're going to make it to the other side of the lake because he's promised it. He said it. But something happens that they get away from the word. He said, leaving the crowd behind, the disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats sailed with them. Suddenly, as they were crossing the lake, a ferocious storm arose with violent winds and waves that were crashing into the boat until it was nearly swamped. But Jesus was calmly sleeping in the stern, resting on a cushion. Let me say something to you. When you get your head on a cushion or a pillow, you are... You were determined to go to sleep. Jesus didn't just fall asleep sitting in the boat. He went in the stern of the boat, below deck, and he went in and laid his head on a pillow. He was going to sleep on purpose. He was at rest on purpose. On purpose. Remember that. He knew this storm was going to come, and he's asleep. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die?" One of the translations says that they were afraid, that they got in fear because of the storm. You know why they got in fear? Because they forgot what God's word said. He said, "We're going across to the other side of the lake. No doubt about it." And Jesus is at peace and resting because he knew that storm would not sink any boats and they would flow through it. Even if he didn't steal the storm like he does, they would still not be sunk by this storm. Let me say what tell you what happened here. So this storm comes. Storms come in your life as a distraction to get you off of the word of God. First, you have a physical storm, whether it's physical, a medical issue or a financial issue, whatever. It's manifested in the natural storm. And then it's designed to get you in an emotional storm. So they went from a physical storm to an emotional storm and got afraid. Then they went from a physical storm to an emotional storm to a spiritual storm. And now they're accusing God himself of not caring about them. All because they got their eyes off the word. What did Jesus say? "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And he's not awake and panicked. He's not even awake. He's sleeping on a pillow because he knows when he says we're going to the other side, we are going to the other side and nothing will stop it. Guys, don't let physical storms, however they manifest in the natural, relational, financial, health storms cause you to take your eyes off the promises in the word of God, because it will create an emotional storm that will cause a spiritual storm in your life. And you'll begin to question whether God cares about you or not. Listen to what happens. So they shook him awake, saying, "Teacher, don't you even care that we are all about to die?" Fully awake, he rebuked the storm and shouted to the sea, "Hush, be still," or "Peace, be still." All at once, the wind stopped howling and the water became perfectly calm. Then he turned to his disciples and said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" See, they were afraid. "Haven't you learned to trust yet?" So Satan creates all these storms, or maybe even we create some of our own storms, and we get in them, and they're all designed, whether we create them or Satan creates them, or we just walk into a storm in the middle of God's will, whatever the reason the storm is there, for this purpose, to get us into an emotional storm, so we get in a spiritual storm, so we stop trusting God's word and promise. Then this happens. "But they were overwhelmed with fear and awe and said to one another, 'Who is this man who has such authority that even the wind and waves obey him?'" They went from being afraid of the natural storm to being in fear of God. Listen, we need to be in greater fear of God, in awe of God, in fear of God, than we do anything that man can do or anything in this natural can do. And when we walk in the awe and fear of God, then we will see the supernatural God move on our behalf. He promises, if you will honor me and stand in awe of me and fear me greater than anything else in this world, anything man can do, anything in the natural that can happen, anything Satan can do, anything anyone can do to you, if you will fear me above the wind and the waves, the storms of life, I will protect you. He said, those that fear the Lord, I will pour out mercy on. He said, those that fear the Lord, I will pour out my protection, my blessings on generation to generation of their families if they'll stay focused on me instead of the circumstances of life that are designed to cause us to be distracted emotionally and distracted spiritually. That's why that word behold is the most important word in that whole message. We have to fix our eyes on God, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the one that promised, the one that said, we shall go from here to heaven. We shall go from here to here. I shall bless you. I shall care for you. I shall protect you. I shall cause even rivers in the desert and a path and waters in the wilderness. No matter where you are, where you go, I will be there. And if you'll focus on me, whether you put yourself there or I put you there or Satan put you there, I will supernaturally move on your behalf. For those that will focus in 2024, say, okay, God, I'm purposing. No matter what's coming, I'm focusing on you and your promise and your word. And I stand more in awe of you than any circumstance, situation, or anything a person could do to me. I stand in awe of you. I stand in fear of you, God. I will honor you. I will serve you no matter what. Because I believe that right in the middle of my stuff, right in the middle of my junk, right in the middle of it all, you're going to leap out supernaturally and save the day, heal the day, restore the day, provide for the day, because I'm only focused on you. We're moving into 2024, whether we like it or not, and there are storms that are coming. There are going to be wilderness and desert experiences. But for those who would behold God, God is coming. He's coming bigger than the storm. He's coming bigger than the wilderness. He's coming bigger than the desert. And it's going to be supernatural and a new thing in our lives. Not a new thing to God, but it'll be a new thing to us. Man, I think I'm preaching better than you're celebrating. Wake up! Because God is doing a new thing. Whether you see it or not, or I see it or not, will all come down to where our focus is. Let's purpose in our hearts as we enter in. You know, midnight's going to be, I'll probably be asleep at midnight. I'll have to say Happy New Year now. As I've gotten older, man, if I get still, whew, I'm out. I'm asleep. I'll probably get still watching some football after church, eat a big lunch, and it'll be siesta time for a while. But guys, listen, Happy New Year to you. But let's make it really happy. The word blessed means happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. And that's what God promised for those who will focus on Him. Let's focus on what God is doing. Amen. Not what the world's doing, but what God is doing. Listen, every eye closed here and online. Thank you for joining us online. Listen, whether you're online watching live or you're watching 2 weeks from now or you're here in this room, man, God wants to do a new thing in your life. It's transformative. And what I mean by that is, man, it changes everything if you're sincere, if you're honest with Him. It changes everything. He changed my life. And I was in church for all the wrong reasons. Every wrong reason you could think of, that's why I was there that day. I'd been in church in years till the day I went for every wrong reason. But God knew what it would take to get me in there. He's a fisher of men. He knows the exact bait. And I bit, and I showed up, and then He spoke to me. And He said these two things to me. He said, for God so loved the world He gave. God expresses His love through His generosity. He said, if I'd give you Jesus, would I not give you all things? Wow. His only begotten Son surrendered His life to save ours. I'd give you everything I have before I'd give you one of my children. I'd give you everything I have. I'd be a slave to someone before I'd let them take one of my children's lives. I'd give my life before I would do it. And that's exactly how God our Father thought. So He did. He surrendered his life for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever Man, I found out I was a whosoever. I'm like, I qualify for that. I'm nothing special, God, but I'm a whosoever. Would believe on him shall be saved. I didn't even know what the word saved completely meant, but I knew that the life I was living was so dark and selfish that there had to be some, if he just saved me from selfishness and this darkness I was walking in, God, that'd be more than enough. Little did I know that not only would he save me from that, but he'd forgive me for all the sin I'd committed, all the partying and all the things that came from that lifestyle, all the sin, all the selfishness that had caused hurt to so many others, that he would forgive me. And that he wouldn't just save my life to give me a better life in this life, a selfless life, and teach me how to live less selfish. Day after day, he teaches me. But he'd give me heaven as my eternal home when I die. Wow. That he'd teach me as I focus on him and live for him, that he takes care of everything else. I just get up every day and go to work. Every day, do what I'm supposed to do and focus on doing what's right by God, that he'll take care of all the issues. Wow. Then when I die, I go to heaven forever. Wow. What a great gift. What an unbelievable gift. Then he said this to me, John 3:17, and this is the one that got me. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it. See, I'd always thought through religion and just what I'd heard about God and heard about religion and heard from religion is that God came to just beat me into the ground, man, that I was condemned and there was no way out. But Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't kick you while you were down. We were already condemned. He said, I came to save you from that condemnation. And when I heard that, it finally dawned on me, hold on a second. God didn't come just to tell me how wrong I was. He came to save me from it. He came to forgive me. He came to give me the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me that I might live a life worth living and worth giving away to others. He came to teach me how to serve him and serve my family and those around me. Came to teach me how to lay down my life as he laid down his life. And what blessings come from that. That real life only comes from that. It's the selfishness that leads us to do our thing and do whatever and live our truth. And that's selfishness. It leads to death of relationships. It leads to death of dreams and life. It causes so much hurt and pain around the world and in our world. Jesus came to change all of that. To change all of that. So whether if you're online or here, you've never prayed. I had never prayed to that day. That day in church. I never prayed. I didn't even know how to pray. I was so grateful when the pastor led me in a prayer because I didn't know how to pray. Maybe that's you. You don't know how to get things right with God. I didn't know. But he led me in a prayer and I meant every word of it. We want to lead you in a prayer. But it'll be between you and God whether you mean it or not. I guarantee you God means it. He already proved that he meant it and that he loved us by dying a horrific death on a cross for our sins. But he was raised from the dead in 3 days. And he's alive and he wants to save you right now. So if you've never prayed and you want to pray, we want to lead you in a prayer. Or maybe, you know, after I prayed that prayer, I wasn't perfect, haven't perfected it yet, but I'm working on it. Maybe in You're working on it. Man, you've run away from home. There was a few times I did too. But I was so grateful that God always welcomed me back. He always welcomed me back home. And I ran home. I ran home every time. So maybe it's time to stop running away from Him and run back to Him. So whether it's your first time or your next time, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when someone prays for the first time or when someone comes home. It's only two times in the entire Word of God, the entire kingdom of heaven, that it says all heaven rejoices. That's how big a deal it is. That's how big a deal it is. You can imagine, if you're a parent, how big a deal it is. If one of your children's in a life and death situation and they're saved, you're in a life and death situation right now, and Jesus wants to save you from it. That's why all heaven rejoices. Or when some child or someone runs away and they're lost and they're gone and they come home. You can imagine. That's how God feels. That's how heaven feels. That's how Jesus feels. So if either one of those are you, it's your first time or your next time, and you want to pray with us, I'm going to ask you to do two things. Here's the first one. On the count of three, in this room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up high, not be ashamed. Say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God today. Online, I'm going to ask you to message us and say, and I'm praying for the first time or the next time. It's real important that you do this step because you need to acknowledge it. You need to take responsibility for your spiritual life today. You need to be unashamed of Jesus. And then the second thing we're going to do is we're all just going to pray right where you're sitting here, right where you're at online. We're just going to pray together. And so if that's you, you want to get right with God before you leave here, or right with God online, here we go. 1, 2, 3. Raise your hand in here. Send us a message online. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all. Thank you, thank you. Gosh, there's so many. Thank you over here. Thank you, thank you. Gosh, there's so many. Thank you, thank you. Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. I see that hand right there. Thank you, thank you. Wow, that's so powerful, so incredible. Let's all pray together. For those online and those in the room, let's all pray with them and encourage them in our prayer. Let's say this. Say, God, I believe you are God and God alone. And I believe you do love me, you love us, and you sent Jesus to die for our sins, my sins. All the times I've rebelled against you. And I believe you raised Jesus from the dead, and he's alive. And because I believe that, I ask you, God, by the blood of Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins as I forgive by choice those who have hurt me. And I thank you now. I'm forgiven by you. And I say to you, Jesus, you surrendered your life for me. Now I surrender my life for you. For as of today, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. And I thank you now for the Holy Spirit that lives in me, that teaches me and shows me, guides me and directs me on how to serve you, your kingdom, those around me, until I see you in heaven. Thank you for saving my life. Restoring my life today. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God. Happy New Year!
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.